From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with Michael Lev and Ryan Finley. We are part of the Arizona Daily Star. And fellas, before every college football season, we come out to Frog and Firkin. We host a live football podcast. Normally, it's before an Arizona home game, but the Wildcats are on the road. We're still going to preview the upcoming season and the season opener against Hawaii. But before we talk some football,
yes.
Big shout out to Frog and Firkin.
Love this place.
Big shout out to Frog and Firkin for always hosting us before Arizona home games, but they're going to host us for this week. When's the next time we'll be back?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks when they play before Arizona plays NAU.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Don't you know the schedule, Justin?
I know.
Isn't that like an important part of the job?
It is. Important part of my job.
Yeah.
How's it going, fellas? Happy college football season.
It doesn't feel like college football to me yet, and maybe that'll change here by Saturday, but it's like 135 degrees outside. For one.
So it doesn't feel like fall.
School hasn't started at the U of A yet. We're here down in Frog and Firkin, and it's jammed because it's freshman orientation and move-in day and all of that. I'm hoping that it starts to feel a little bit more like fall here before Saturday. Michael Lev, you have to be excited, though. You're going to Honolulu.
I am.
Working in paradise, Michael Lev.
Yep. It is a little weird, this whole schedule with week zero. Starting the season a week before everybody else, starting training camp 2 days after Pac-12 Media Day. All the stories that I would look at, nationally were like, going into the second week of training camp. Meanwhile, Arizona had wrapped up training camp and was moving into, game plan mode already at that point. But I think there are definite advantages to it. The biggest advantage is they get an extra bye week. They have three bye weeks this season. Two of them come within the first 5 weeks. So you can kind of see what you've got, play that first game, kind of empty the tank, and then reassess where you're at. Look at the roster. And you play a couple more games, and you get another bye week heading into conference play. So you can do the same thing again. You can do a huge self-assessment. Guys will have a chance to heal from injuries. I really like how the schedule sets up this year compared to last year when they didn't have their bye until November.
Well, interesting that you say that, because I remember last year we were saying if there's a chance for Arizona to compete in the Pac-12 South or the Pac-12 in general, it's this year. Mm-hmm. Because you look at the 2019 Pac-12 schedule, you have Washington, right. Oregon, I mean, some very tough opponents, and Utah as well.
And Utah. It's funny, and I'm reminded of a couple of years ago when they didn't have their first bye until, week 10 or something? That's all Rich Rodriguez talked about for nine
weeks. That was the year when they didn't have it until the very end of the season, right? It was the week leading into the Pac-12 championship game, which they weren't in, so it didn't really help them.
Right. So the bye week schedule is something that works in their favor. The schedule itself is something that I'm not sure works in their favor, because the teams that they were allowed to skip the last couple of years are now back on the schedule. And who do they miss this year, Lev?
Washington State and Cal are off. Having Washington State off the schedule, I think, is a good thing.
The way they match up, yeah.
And this is not a personal issue for me, like with Pullman or anything like that.
Not at all.
It is more that every time they go up there, they get destroyed. So.
Right. So this works in their favor. That doesn't. Let's talk about the non-conference season. Can we get into the non-conference season? They play three games. It's at Hawaii, and then at home against NAU, and at home against Texas Tech. What is a reasonable expectation, Michael and Justin, for this team? And is this another one of those years where, if they don't start off 3-0, they might be in trouble?
Yes. They need to start off 3-0. And I think it's doable. I don't think this Hawaii game is going to be easy, but I think it's a winnable game. I think Arizona has more talent. They have more speed. This is something I've heard from a couple of different people now, which is something that they can really use to their advantage in a variety of ways in this matchup on Saturday. And it's a game they just kind of have to win for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, I don't think the way last season began and the way last season ended that you can stub your toe in this opener. Oh. Because all the doubters are going to come out again. And everyone's going to be like, what is going on with this program? What direction is this thing headed? And I think they're going to show up.
Right. Keep in mind, when Rich Rodriguez was here, I believe that they lost one non-conference football game. in 6 years.
Yeah, that was at the BYU game, right?
The BYU game. Yeah. I believe that they lost one non-conference football game. Last year, I mean, you could make the argument that that BYU game last year was sort of... all the air came out of the balloon by the end of the first game.
Yes.
And I'm not sure it ever really came back. BYU came out, I thought that they out-physicaled Arizona. I know that's not a word, but it's football season. They out-physicaled Arizona. I thought that they out-schemed Arizona and deserved to win that game. And then, you know, you're heading into week two, and all of the enthusiasm about Khalil Tate and all the enthusiasm about Kevin Sumlin pretty much goes away. Then they struggle against Houston. And
struggle is an understatement.
Struggle. And, I mean, the buzz just is gone. And by the time there was even a tiny little bit of buzz back, it was like November 15th.
But last year was the expectation for them to go 3-0.
Right.
Because
I think that's the expectation this year, too, though.
I didn't expect them to go 3-0 last
year. And neither did I.
But I didn't expect them to go 1-2 either.
Right. Sure.
I figured they were going to beat BYU. I thought they were going to lose at Houston because that was kind of a trap game. I mean, 11 a.m. local kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Breakfast burritos at the office.
Yeah, in the humidity of Texas. You know, it's a road game. You know, it's not like any sort of natural rival in any way, shape, or form. So I thought they'd go 2-1. Going 1-2, I mean, that was kind of a disaster, honestly.
But I mean, but last year, everything kind of seemed rushed.
Yes.
You know, everything wasn't organic. Everything was really just forced. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I wasn't expecting them to go 3-0. Now this year, we hear Khalil Tate and Noel Mazzone saying, yeah, we went through growing pains last year. Yeah. Some of us weren't on the same page. Now that the coaching staff is here for an entire season, everyone's more comfortable with each other, and everyone is pretty much at the same level.
Yeah. That said, I think Hawaii is going to be a real challenge. I mean, A, they're flying how many miles? Is it 2,500 miles?
A lot.
How many pounds on the plane?
14,000.
14,000?
14,000 pounds of equipment. And they also, it's not like this little soundboard here. They have like kind of a bigger, have you ever seen that thing that they have?
Yeah.
Where sort of the hub for all of the headsets and all that stuff. I heard that, I think this is what they were talking about, that they couldn't fit this thing on the plane and they had to like send it to Hawaii on a boat. So I mean, you gotta make some you know, special accommodations when you're playing on the islands.
Right. But they're going a very long ways to play in a very unfamiliar environment. It's gonna be sticky, it's gonna be hot.
I like the fact that they left yesterday.
Right,
I think that was a really good idea.
Right,
get acclimated.
It's weird, Arizona traveling west. That never happens. So from a time change standpoint, that's going to be strange for them. Hawaii has had this game circled for 9 months. For Arizona, this is step one on your way to hopefully bowl eligibility, right? To me, this is you hate to say trap game in week one, but I think it's a trap game. I really do, and I think if Arizona escapes with a win, it almost doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it's 7-6. I think a win, when you travel that far, is all you can ask for.
Yeah, it's almost a no-win situation for Arizona because the Wildcats are expected to win. So if they do, everyone's like, okay, that's what they were supposed to do. And if they lose, it's like, what, you know, it's like the wheels are falling off. But, you know, Ryan was talking about buzz earlier. Can you imagine if Khalil Tate goes out and rushes for 150 yards and passes for 250 and they score like 50 points? The buzz will be back.
On national television in a week where there's nothing else on. I mean, that's huge. There is an advantage, I think, to playing in week zero, and maybe there's only one advantage, and that advantage is you get a large number of eyeballs on you because there's only how many games this week? Three?
Two.
Two? Florida State, Miami, and Arizona, Hawaii?
It's Florida, Miami.
Florida, Miami. Yeah. Sorry, Florida, Miami, and Arizona, Hawaii. I mean, this is going to be kind of the big sporting event in America Saturday night at 7:30. It's crazy.
The big sporting event in America. Oh, huh?
Padres, Red Sox, but you know, not that. Not that.
What do you think's more amped up about this game?
Oh, Hawaii.
Hawaii, Arizona?
Hawaii.
You think so?
Yes. I'm not sure. It's Michael Lev.
Now, who's the most amped up on Hawaii? Nick Rolovich.
Oh, well, yeah.
Nick, you know Nick Rolovich is licking his chops at Arizona right now.
Well, absolutely. This is the kind of job that could get him a better job. Or this is the kind of game that could get him a better job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Hawaii comes out. And again, there is some buzz around Hawaii. I mean, Lev, you know. They're seen in the Mountain West as dangerous. If they were to come out and beat a Power 5 conference team at home to start their season, I mean, all the buzz goes to Hawaii.
They were 8-6 last year. There are some people who consider them a dark horse in their division in the Mountain West. They have a really good quarterback, and they play a system that you just don't see very often anymore, which is the run and shoot.
Right.
And I was talking to Rick Neuheisel yesterday. Rick is doing the game for CBS Sports Network. And I was asking, what's the difference between the run and shoot and the air raid? And he said, with the run and shoot, there's a lot more reading of the defense and then different options coming off of each route. Whereas it's all kind of pre-designed, I guess, with the air raid. But regardless, you're still talking about four wide receivers on the field. You're talking
But they don't have a wide receiver that's taller than 6 feet.
That's the run and shoot. It's pint-sized guys.
Also, welcome to the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
That's kind of the case everywhere but Boise.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, they're going to pass the ball at least 60% of the time and probably more. So that's going to be a serious test for an Arizona defense that has struggled against that style, in particular, Washington State.
Right. Right. Exactly. And this is such a big game. And you hate to say it because it's Hawaii and it's on, what, August 24th?
I agree with you. 100%.
This is a massive game. I mean, if Arizona comes home with a win, you can then kind of dream on them a little bit, especially if Khalil Tate plays well, if everybody stays healthy, et cetera, et cetera. This is a team that's led the Pac-12 in rushing in each of the last 3 years. J.J. Taylor has been, I think, the best running back in the Pac-12 conference. At least he was last year. You know, if they run all over Hawaii, okay, 8, 9, 10 wins. If they start 0-1, I mean, people are looking forward to the red-blue game in basketball.
That's my game plan, by the way. Is run all over Hawaii.
Yes.
I think they need to come into this game with the mentality of, we are the bigger, stronger, more physical team. We are the 3-time rushing champs.
Are they the bigger,
in the Pac-12.
Stronger physical team,
yeah,
up front?
If you look at Hawaii's front seven, yes. Arizona should have an advantage there. Hawaii's got some big boys on their offensive line. Not surprising. I mean, they recruit the islands.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Arizona is going to be able to run the ball. This is a Hawaii defense that allowed more than 200 rushing yards a game last year, and an Arizona offense that was right around that same range, a little bit over 200 rushing yards. So to me, I think this is one of those games like Oregon State last year, where they can really run the ball down the opponent's throat, and that sets up everything else.
Well, not only do you have one of the top running backs in the country in J.J. Taylor, but you have one of the top running quarterbacks in the country when he's healthy in Khalil Tate. And
We think.
Well, I would say that he is. Look at the month of
I'm just saying, is he
October
running,
is in 2017.
Is he a running quarterback? That's my point.
Well, he's got the best legs for a quarterback in the country. How about
go.
That? Or one of the best legs.
I mean, we've talked about that topic, like, ad nauseum throughout the offseason, right? This whole, like, will Khalil run? How much will he run? How effectively? And to me, a lot of it comes down to whether he wants to or not.
I think he wants to. And I didn't know it was more than just the ankle injury last year. There were more. According to the SI report, it was his toe.
He had a toe.
Right?
He had a shoulder. And he's healthy now.
Now he's 100% healthy. There's no excuse.
He hasn't been hit,
though. You're right.
Though.
You're right.
No, there's no excuse. And the way I put it with Khalil is, as a pocket passer, he is, what would you say, above average?
Yeah, very much
to
so.
To good, somewhere
yes.
in there?
Yes.
When you add the running element to it, he's potentially great.
Yes.
And so you have to kind of remember, like, what makes you special. And the thing that makes Khalil Tate special is he's a world-class athlete. And he needs to have a willingness to utilize those skills for Arizona to be the best team that it can be.
If we can get 2017 Khalil Tate, and you combine it with the last four games of last year, he threw for average almost 280 passing yards per game in the last four games of the season. You can combine those together. Arizona's in pretty good shape this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's kind of the narrative about Khalil Tate that drives me a little crazy. There's this talk that he regressed last year. Well, yeah, in non-conference play, he wasn't very good. He had to sit out against UCLA because of that injury. When he got back, he was solid. When he got back, he was absolutely solid. And
as a passer.
Just as good a passer, I believe.
He looked better as a runner, too.
Yeah, I thought he was as good as he was in 2017.
What was his biggest run last year? Wasn't it like 14 yards?
No, he had one, I think, that was around 20-ish.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I understand why people around the country have the reaction of, what the heck happened to this guy? Because, I mean, his average touchdown run the previous season was somewhere around 40 yards. You know, I mean, it was insane. He was having 50, 60, 70-yard runs every single week. I don't think he needs to do that. I think when it's 3rd and 7 and the play breaks down, he needs to run for 10 yards or 12 yards. Those are back-breaking plays, as any fan of Arizona knows who's been on the other side of that with the breakdowns they've had on third downs defensively.
But going back to the running attack for Arizona, you have Khalil Tate, you have J.J. Taylor, and then you have the backups. Lev, you can bring 74 players on a trip now, right? Or is that just for a conference? Or is that just
more for non-conference, but 74 for conference games.
74 for conference games? Well, Arizona, they have a lot of running backs on hand for this game.
Yep.
You have J.J. Taylor. You have Gary Brightwell. You have Nathan Tilford. You have Bam Smith. And Michael Wiley, a freshman who we've heard nothing but great things about. Mm-hmm. He also made the trip to Hawaii. So Arizona is going to have a lot of legs at that running back spot.
Gary Brightwell, he's kind of banged up a little bit during training camp. I think he had a neck issue of some sort. He was held out of contact a lot. But when the depth chart came out, he was number 2. He didn't have an or next to his name like the other 3 guys do. So I think that's an indication of what the pecking order is. JJ number 1, Gary number 2. The question is, who's going to be that 3rd guy?
Well, Bam was listed at number 3.
Well, they were all ors, though. So does that mean Bam's listed first? Is that just a coincidence? Does that mean something? The issue is, how do you use that guy? How much do you use that guy? We've heard really good things about Michael Wiley as a receiver. So you might see him in those 2-back sets. Maybe one guy motions out into the slot. That could be JJ. That could be Michael Wiley. I like the idea of that 2-back set because it gives the defense something to think about. You know, what are they doing with – which guy do we have to pay attention to, and what are they doing with him? I think one of the areas that the offense really needs to focus on this year is throwing the ball more to the running backs. We saw when they would do one-on-ones in practice, J.J. Taylor lined up against the best linebackers that Arizona has.
Pandy. Anthony Pandy.
Pandy, Fields, no matter who it is, they can't cover him.
Yeah.
And Arizona has pretty good linebackers. You would say it's probably the strength of the team. They need to get J.J. Taylor out of the backfield into pass patterns because I think that can be a real weapon for them. And that can help Khalil Tate raise his completion percentage, which was the biggest flaw in his passing resume last year. Among qualifying quarterbacks in the Pac-12, he was last in completion percentage. That number needs to come up.
Right. Cannot wait for Saturday. I mean, all of these questions we've been asking, and we're nerdy about this. We're football dorks. I mean, Lev, we've been talking about this stuff since December 1st, right? I mean, how are they going to look next year? What can he do when he's healthy? You know, who's going to play wide receiver? What are they going to do on the D-line? Mm-hmm. I mean, we finally get some answers after a very long – this has felt like a very long offseason to me.
I remember asking Kevin Sumlin, like, whether the schedule threw him off, you know, because they had to start everything a week earlier, and he was like, we didn't have anything to do in December. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get the ball rolling. You mentioned the defensive line, the defense. What do you guys think? Like, is it going to be significantly better than it's been? They've actually, if you look at points allowed, yards allowed, third down percentage, they've gotten better every year under Marcel Yates. Are they going to make a jump this year into, I don't know, 4th or 5th best in the pack?
Right. Well, the trend shows that they should be better this year, right?
Right.
How much better?
Well, that's the thing. Better ain't good enough. You know, like, they were better last year, but the defense was still the problem. To me, it comes down to the D-line, and it's not a very sexy, glamorous response, but I don't know if they're big enough up front. If they're, you know, I think that we'll get a little taste of it on Saturday when they play Hawaii, because Hawaii, on the offensive line, is very big. I think that we'll get a taste on Saturday as to whether or not...
What do you mean by not big enough, though? Like, when you look at the DNs? Because I look at the interior defensive tackles, 325, 300, 310, and 319. I mean, those four defensive tackles are going to be rotating in on Saturday. So I think that's big enough for interior defensive tackles. But what about...
Maybe compared to P.J. Johnson, everybody is small. to me, it's an issue at Arizona. It's an issue getting big, talented guys to play the D-tackle spots. You know, and you're big, but are you talented?
Well...
You know? I don't know.
And we don't know that because the two starting defensive tackles are JUCO transfers. We haven't seen them play down at Arizona.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If you look at those four guys, Miles Tapasoa, Trayvon Mason, Fenton Connolly, and Mikey Irving, only one of them has played any meaningful snaps for the Arizona Wildcats. The other three are unproven.
Yeah.
So how are they going to perform? We don't know. Right. And this is going to be an interesting test for those guys because, again, team that passes the ball a ton, they're going to have to rotate to keep guys fresh. Conditioning has been the number one issue for those junior college guys. And that's going to be put to the test right away. In the humidity, the game starts at 4:30 local time. I mean, you can call it Pac-12 after dark, but the sun's still going to be shining in Honolulu when this game kicks off.
Lev had a big old smile when he said that.
That's going to be a huge test for them. But I like the fact that they now have two units. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had told you 3 months ago that Kylan Wilborn, Justin Belknap, and Fenton Connolly would all be part of the second unit,
right?
I mean, you would have said those guys are probably starters.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So I think that's a really good sign. I like the look of that second unit. I think they're really genuinely committed to it this year. And I also think we're going to see some mixing and matching. Like, if it gets to be 3rd and 10, I think you're going to see Brown, Wilborn, Belknap, and Harris as the four guys on the field. We'll have to come up with a good nickname for this four defensive end alignment of theirs. But I think that can be a really effective pass rushing unit, using your quickness on the inside, which is kind of the trend in football now with Aaron Donald, Ed Oliver, those types of guys.
Before we give out our predictions for the upcoming game, I have some over-unders for you guys here, okay?
Ooh, nice. Yeah. So
first off, we mentioned Khalil Tate. Wasn't really much of a runner last year, held back by injury. We didn't really see the 2017 Khalil Tate in 2018. I'm going to set the over-under rushing yards for Khalil Tate at 74.5 Saturday night against Hawaii. Over-under, fellas.
I'll take the under, but there's a reason why, and I'll explain that when we talk about our picks.
Okay.
I will also take the under. I think that's a little high. If he's in the 50 to 60 range, I think that's more realistic. And when we get to talking about how the game might play out, that we can explain that a little further.
I'll take the under as well, just because running backs, there's more of them, and I think if Arizona's going to run the ball, they're going to give it to their running backs.
Precisely.
And plus the wide receiver rotation, there's some depth at that spot. So I don't really expect Khalil Tate to use his legs. Another Khalil Tate over under passing yards.
Okay.
Over under 211.5.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, me too. I'll take the over.
How about touchdowns? I'm going to set the over under at 2.5.
We're talking total touchdowns that he accounts for.
Passing touchdowns.
I might take the over on that one too.
Yeah, me.
2.5.
Yeah, me too.
All right, moving on to J.J. Taylor, rushing yards, setting the over-under at 119.5.
Over.
How much over?
I mean, I think he could definitely hit 150. I mean,
sounds about right. It bothers me that you and I agree on all these things. Keep going.
All right, going to the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
Jalen Harris.
Love him. Yes.
0.5 sacks.
Over.
Oh, I'll take the over.
You think he's going to get a sack?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who, A, you want leading you off the team bus, Jalen Harris. I'm not sure Hawaii has anybody who looks like him.
Did you see that photo of him?
Yes.
Flexing his muscles?
Yes.
He's a big guy.
Big kid.
Mac and cheese.
Mama's mac and cheese.
Jalen Harris was the hardest guy to block in spring ball, the hardest guy to block in training camp. I think he's going to have a breakout season, and I think it's going to start Saturday night.
Colin Schooler tackles. I'm going to set the over-under at 14.5.
Oh, I'm going to take the under on that one.
Jesus, me too.
I'll tell you why. They're going to rotate. The three guys, Pandy, Fields, and Schooler, are going to rotate. I don't think he's going to play as many snaps. And I think that the leading tackler in this game is probably going to be a safety or a cornerback just because of the style of play that Hawaii has.
Hawaii's going to throw the ball 50 times.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Arizona's defense. Well, actually, no. Let's go back to Colin Schooler since he's known for TFLs. I'm going to set the over-under at 1.5 TFLs.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm going to take the under on that one.
Because the rotation?
I don't feel good about that one, though.
Okay.
I'm agreeing with Michael Lev over and over again. This is a fascinating podcast. I'm sorry.
Okay. We need more debate, fellas.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Right. Arizona's defense. Now, they ranked 92nd in total defense last year. They gave up an average of 432.5 yards per game.
Okay.
Over under 432.5.
I'm going to say under.
I think under.
Under.
I'll go over.
Wow. Okay.
So you're expecting a high-scoring game then?
I am too.
Maybe I am.
It could be that kind of game. But I still think that's a high figure. Let's say that Cole McDonald throws for 300 yards. That would mean that Hawaii would have to run the ball for 135.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'll take the under on that one.
It could be one of those games, too, where Arizona gets up big early and Hawaii just decides that they've got to throw it every down. And it could be big numbers that don't really mean a lot.
All right, guys, before we get to our predictions for the game, this is also a special season opener as well because there's a unique connection between both programs. The late Dick Tomey is the all-time winningest head coach at both schools, at Hawaii and Arizona. Arizona, they're going to honor him by wearing decals on the back of the helmet, the DT initials. And then Hawaii, they released a video on their Twitter page of former players, you know, sharing their favorite memories. And are they planning on doing something before the game?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Lev?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a huge ceremony. All of Dick Tomey's closest family members are going to be there. Players, they're hoping to get as many players who played for him out there as possible. They have offered free tickets to ex-Hawaii and Arizona players who played under Tomey. His one of his favorite artists is going to perform at halftime as well.
Really?
Yeah, cool. I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
It's not the...
I want to say...
This is it... The song that they played at his memorial service?
Kenny Loggins?
Yeah.
No, it's not Kenny Loggins.
It's not Kenny.
No.
We can guess it's not Kenny Loggins.
No, okay. It's a Hawaiian artist.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that's absolutely. Cool. This is a very big deal. There's a lot of connections. It really feels apt. This is the first game that either school is playing since Coach Tomey passed away. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, the last time Arizona played at Hawaii, that was the first game of the 1998 season.
Chris McAllister
returned the opening kickoff of the season for a touchdown, and they ended up going 12-1 that year, the best year in program history. So,
fun fact, by the way.
Yeah.
I was a college freshman that year. The noise that we made on that kickoff return in the apartment that I was in caused our downstairs neighbors to come up and see what was going on. The person who knocked on that door was the woman who went on to become my wife.
Oh, my.
How about
no
that?
Way.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So Chris McAllister is responsible for the Finley family?
Entirely possible, yes. Yeah. Came upstairs. They said they wanted to know what was going on, why there were 10 guys in the room yelling and screaming. And, yeah.
Another fun fact. Justin Spears was 4 years old when that game happened.
How old were you in 1998?
1998, I was three. I was born July 4th, 1995.
Taking my headphones off and I'm walking away. Good Lord.
Oh, did you invite Chris McAllister to your wedding?
No.
Oh, that's so cool.
He could have shown up in his F-350.
Should have invited him to your bachelor party at least.
Remember that truck that he drove when he was with the Ravens? He drove an F-350, a truck that like they made six of. It was like 17 feet tall. You've never seen this?
No.
Google it. It's great. Google it. Anyway, real quick about Dick Tomey.
Yeah.
It's still hard to think of him as the late Dick Tomey. He always seemed... I mean, Michael, you met with him a year ago to talk about the 98 team. He could have passed for 60 years old. Right? And he was pushing
80. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he was pushing 80. He was finally retired, finally kind of enjoying retired life here. And it's sad that he got sick and this all happened so quickly. I think that it's really fitting that they open up at Hawaii. And I hope it's a good moment. And I hope for, you know, Rich Tomey and his family and everybody else that it's a good game.
You know, one thing that I took away from seeing the Hawaii players video that they released and going to the memorial service and hearing all the former Arizona players talk about him was, man, he was really hard on you. He was sometimes hard-headed and stubborn, but he loved you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that I also took away from his memorial service was football was probably talked about in 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Football was probably talked about maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I would take the under on that.
You take the under on that?
I feel like they didn't talk about football at all during that memorial service. It was just all about what kind of a man he was, tough love, father figure, how he really genuinely cared for them and got the best out of them. If there had been football talk, or if you want to talk football about Dick Tomey, I think one of the things that really stands out to me and something that's important for this job and the Hawaii job as well, having an eye for talent, because you are not going to get, you're not going to get a bunch of 4- and 5-star players at Hawaii or Arizona. Dick Tomey did not, but he recognized the potential greatness in players and was able to get, you know, 4- and 5-star production out of 2- and 3-star players.
Right. I also thought that his memorial service is probably a good reminder. We work in a profession where it's easy to let your job define you, because it's kind of fun, right? Like, you get to go on a plane to Hawaii and cover stuff. A good reminder that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to a lot of people. It matters kind of what kind of a dude you are. And Dick Tomey was a heck of a guy.
He always said it's about the people, right? Mm-hmm. Much more so than the X's and O's.
Yes. It's about Jimmy's and Joe's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It must be football season.
Ryan's
breaking
out
the Jimmys and Joes.
Jimmys and Joes.
All right, guys, since we have about a minute left here, Arizona-Hawaii kickoff is set for 7:30 in Tucson, 4:30 over where you're at, Michael Lev, right there in Paradise. Sun's going to be shining on Michael Lev's face. How about this? Predictions for Saturday night.
Yep.
Arizona-Hawaii, who do you guys got?
I got Arizona winning 45-38. I think it will be a high-scoring shootout type of game, and I think that Arizona is going to run the ball extremely well in this game, over 300 yards, maybe even approaching 400 yards, which we have seen from time to time over the last couple of seasons.
I believe Vegas has it set as Arizona as an 11-point favorite.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think that's a little high.
Yeah, I don't think they cover. I'll go 35-31, and as long as we're just guessing here, I'm guessing they get up big early. I'm guessing they get up something like 35-10, and then run and let Hawaii kind of get back into it a little bit. But yeah, 35-31 sounds about right to me. I think Khalil Tate has a good day, but spends a lot of the day handing the ball off, and I think that Arizona's defense does just enough to win the game.
Red zone offense was a problem for Arizona last year. They have new wide receivers, so I think they might struggle inside the red zone. I mean, if they get within the 5-yard line, obviously you're going to run the ball, and I think they'll score on that. But inside the red zone, finding those wide receivers, I think they're going to go through some growing pains. So I expect some field goals out of this contest. I'm going with Arizona 33, Hawaii 24.
Oh, that's about right.
Yeah. I'm going with the under on that.
Justin is back with his weird scores and very specific predictions.
Should I be more specific?
No, I love how specific.
It's like there's going to be a first quarter safety followed by a free kick.
Arizona-Hawaii kickoff set for 7:30 p.m. in Tucson. Game will be broadcasted on CBS Sports Network. You can also follow the Wildcaster and Michael Lev. He'll be out in Hawaii providing the best coverage.
Best coverage. Bring sunscreen.
Wear sunscreen, Michael Lev.
Wear sunscreen.
Got it.
Before we check out, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. Get it on the App Store and Google Play. Also, subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to Frog and Firkin for hosting us. For Lev, for Ryan, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.